to Beyond a Parent, the podcast for Christians seeking clarity for parenting in a confusing world. I'm Chuck Mead.
I'm Jeremy Autry, and with us today we have Pastor Tom Wagner. He's a mentor to Chuck and I, and in some ways a parental figure, and he has three adult kids who are pretty great. They're serving Jesus, definitely not perfect, but they're great people, friends of ours, and so we thought it would be cool to bring him in, ask him some questions about parenting. For those of you who don't know, Pastor Tom was our boss up until recently. Now he's he still intimidates us sometimes, but he's not our actual legal boss anymore. So he's the retired lead pastor of Central Baptist Church and was for 100 years. How long was it,
Pastor Tom? Almost 38.
Almost 38 years.
38 years. If I was a parental figure, how come I never got to beat either one of you?
Well, oh, I don't know.
That's the difference between a parental figure and an actual parent.
Yes. I see.
Okay. After my in-laws, Pastor Tom was the first person that held my wife after she was born in the hospital. Yes. So
that sentence was sounding weird.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense, right?
Yes.
She was precious.
But Pastor Tom, if you want to start off by just sharing about your three kids and their ages and a little bit about your family.
And your grandkids, too. Okay. Some value. We'd love to hear that.
Well, don't put me on the spot with the ages now because there's so many of them now. But no, I'm very blessed. Terry and I, when we came to Dunn in 1984, we had three children. Two of them were still in diapers. Stephanie, our oldest, is a school teacher here at Brookside. She's a 42.
I don't think we're supposed to tell your daughter's age.
You were not? Okay.
That's okay.
She's 42.
Chuck, what
and
are you
then Tiffany, who's married to Thomas Judge here in the church, she's a couple, 18 months younger than her. And Stephen, 18 months younger than her. He's married to Brooke. I really look at our son-in-law and daughter-in-law as their children, too. I love them. Obviously, I have a little different influence in their lives, but I love them. We have eight grandchildren now, and I'm excited that I have step-grandchildren. I have adopted grandchildren, and I have biological grandchildren. Mm-hmm. And what I love about that is they're all the same. They're wonderful blessings from God. Noah and Eli and Canaan and Madeline, Thomas, Justice, Tommy, and Rosemary, in the order that I received them, not just in the order of their ages, but a gift from God.
This is great. I'm glad we have, you know, Jeremy, his oldest is now an adult. I'm just getting started, so we want, in a lot of these episodes, to take time and interview people. You are definitely have experienced more through parenting. So as we seek God's word, we also want to glean a lot of wisdom that things God has showed you through the years. So we're just to kind of start off, as we're talking about parenting, especially parenting when it comes to discipline, Pastor Tom, you've experienced a lot. Through that, you've guided other parents through disciplining their kids. Where would we start biblically? Maybe some Bible passages that we would go to instruct us on discipline.
Yeah, I have a few of the normal ones that we go to. And then one that God spoke to me about as early as this morning, just reminding me. And by the way, I am not an authority on this subject. I made lots of blunders and really continue to do some of that. I was remembering, real quick before I answer the question, you know, I was born into a family where the dad was lost, mom was saved. And it was confusing, and there were problems, and my father died when I was just a little boy, so there was a lot of things I didn't learn. I'm not making excuses, but I didn't learn. Then a lot of the material and the things that were being shared were not so healthy about parenting in my parenting years. But the verses that came to my heart when thinking about answering that question were the passages in Proverbs. It was funny because my mother would read these to me before she would wail on me. And so don't tell her I said this, but, you know, not just the blueness of the wound, Proverbs 20 verse 30 and 19 verse 18, spare not for their crying. Mm-hmm. You remember those Proverbs?
He shall not die. Is that what it says?
Oh, my. Something like that. But she believed that. She would quote the scriptures and read them to me, then beat me, and then we'd look at them again. So I use some of those with my children, sadly. And yet... the Ephesians passages that relate to the role of a parent, and then the children and husbands and wives, Ephesians 6, was important to me. I love the passage in Proverbs 22 where it talks about training up or discipling. And we know, of course, that disciple is the root of discipline. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. Boy, if I had a dollar for every time I ever heard that or used it. But the rod of correction will drive it far from them. And I don't want to act like I'm against any corporal punishment, because I do believe that when there is defiance, direct disobedience, and there's clear understanding, that sometimes that needs to be employed. It just doesn't need to be the only, and that's all we knew, sadly. And I've apologized to my children for some of that. Much more better material out there today to help us in these areas. Mm-hmm. But the scripture that came to my heart this morning were some of them that were given in the trip book, you know, shepherding a child's heart, the Matthew 12:34 and Luke 6:45, where it talks about really going to the heart, of knowing their heart. And in order to do that, you have to hear them. You have to hear them talk, build conversations. You were pretty good at that, Jeremy. And I've observed that with your kids. You had a good open dialogue. But that's not even the scripture that God used in my life. And if I had to do over again, I would listen a lot more, talk a lot less. I would develop more of a trust, so I would really know their heart and could shepherd their heart. And if there's time later, I'll tell a story that I observed with Stephen and Canaan. But in John 14, about verse 20 or 21, the Bible says this, and this has really meant something to me. Lord, help me quote this. At that day you shall know that I'm in my Father. Jesus is talking. I'm in my Father. You're in me, and I'm in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loves me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him. It was all about the parent loving the child. Mm-hmm. And then Judas, not Iscariot, asked him, how do you do that? He said, if a man love me, listen to this, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him. This is the key, and make our abode with him. Boy, if I'm in Christ and I'm walking with God in sweet communion, then out of that will flow the right kind of heart to parent my children. And boy, if I only knew that, if I only was given instruction in that early on, it would have really helped. So that's a scripture that God is using in my life right now as it relates to discipline and parenting.
Wow.
So, sorry, all of that. I'm rethinking every aspect of my parenting and thinking, well, you messed that up. Thanks for that. No, it's okay. The truth is, we don't parent perfectly. And we see and we learn and we're growing. And if we're doing it right, we're growing closer to God. And we're growing to understand Scripture more and more. So we should be growing as parents. We should look back and say, man, I think I'm handling this better now than I did before I understood these principles. So walk us through some of that for you. How has your mindset on discipline changed or grown, evolved through the years as you are personally growing and learning more?
You know, you learn watching other people and listening. Obviously, I'm glad we started with the Scriptures. You guys have done well on the previous podcast, making this about what God says, and yet the Bible doesn't give us how to accomplish these things in this culture. You know, this is all trial and error, and trying to interpret it. I remember the discipline flow chart. There was a group called Growing Kids God's Way. Did you ever see that flow chart? Yep. I think I shared that in the church.
Yep. Chuck's father-in-law.
Yes, he introduced it.
And Tanya, they taught a class on it we were first.
And it was really good. It kind of distinguished between a childish behavior and foolish behavior. Because the Bible said foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, you know, the rod of correction. But childishness is different than foolishness. You don't respond in discipline the same way when a kid just being a kid does something crazy. But if you've asked them three times not to do it, shown them why it's important for them not to do it, and they do it anyway, that's foolishness. Mm. And that was helpful. But to be honest with you, I've moved more to a grace position. My children listen to this, they'll say, well, would to God he would have heard that earlier. And it's really been because of people like Paul David Tripp and his brother and the things they've written on shepherding your heart, the heart of a child, and then Elise Fitzpatrick. A lot of these people write from a standpoint of grace, and I got to see it. I'll tell the story real quick. When Cana was just a little boy, he pushed his sister. Yeah, he's 15 now, but he pushed his sister. They might have been 3, 4, and his dad said, Cana, you've hurt her, and you know that's wrong. You go in there and wait in my bedroom. You can sit on the bed. I'm going to be in there. You're going to be disciplined. Well, he starts to cry. Madeline's crying, and I'm really nosy. They're living in Greensboro at this time. And I go over to the door when he goes in and closes the door, and I'm at my ear to the door. Number one, I don't want to like to see my grandchildren get spanked. Still, I know it's necessary, and I listen at the door, and I hear him say something like this. He said, Canaan, you know what you did is sin. And Canaan, through his whiffling and crying, says, yes. And he said, I'm sorry to tell you this. And then Stephen's voice begins to break. And I could tell there's tears in his eyes. And he says, Canaan, I hate to tell you this, and I'm sorry to tell you this, but I know why you sin and why you sin. Because I'm a sinner. And I'm the one that passed that down to you. And so I'm responsible too, because, you know, and he went into the whole concept of sin and the choices we make. And he said, you're going to be, you receive a spanking because God disciplines us when we do wrong. But then I want you to come in when you're ready and you really mean it to apologize to your sister. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just seeing that kind of grace response and him weeping with him and acknowledging his own sin, I thought was really powerful.
We've talked. I want you to talk more about this, so I don't mean to interrupt. But we have talked about the danger of and the trap we fall into of lazy parenting. Mm-hmm. Because the truth is, it would have been much easier for Stephen to spank his kid for pushing his sister. You deserve it. Here it is. Now I'm going back to watching my show. I'm going back to resting. I'm going back to dinner. And not put in that extra work of shepherding his heart.
Wow.
Which is, you know, the grace aspect of parenting, that and him being spirit-filled, him knowing what God's word says, and then applying that to that parenting situation is a lot more work. It's the daily grind of parenting. Well,
and then the real easy one would be not responding at all.
Right.
Just looking the other way and allowing his sister to begin to believe that, you know, there's not going to be any kind of fairness or equality in the way we, you know, I was inconsistent. I have to be honest about that. There were times when I was tired, maybe not as spirit-filled, and my views would be a little shorter, and I would respond. And then other times, you know, maybe a little bit more methodical with a little more grace. But, you know, that consistency is important too.
Yep.
It would have been easier. You're right.
Well, when the Bible warns parents against frustrating their children, that's the concept.
Mm-hmm.
If the kids don't know what is the consistent line, that's the
Ephesians
frustration.
Six. Yeah.
You've touched on some things you wish you had done differently. There was maybe less grace in the beginning, or at least that's your view on it has evolved. Is there any other aspect of the way you think about parenting that comes to mind that's evolved from when discipline specifically from earlier in? Because we're looking at now 40 years, four decades of parenting. Any other aspect?
You know, you only have that short window. You know, they're in your home for 18 years or whatever, and every stage is different because, you know, when they're little, hopefully the goal was, and they told us this anyway, you do most of your spanking when they're really little, so you won't have to later on. Mm-hmm. The deal is, my kids got their dad's hard head, and I won't say anything about their mom, but she's from New York. She's worse than me. Tell her I said that.
Pretty sure nobody in New York is listening. Probably safe.
Probably not, but they got it from both sides, and so it was an ongoing challenge, and really, I just would, in fact, my whole life, not just parenting, I would move from way more law to where I believe I rest in grace today.
Mm-hmm.
And that pretty much sums up my heart on the things that God's taught me and the way I would do things differently. Thing is, you don't have another chance. The good news is I'm still parenting and grandparenting, but it's so different today. And I get to love and share and give and spoil and advise and counsel. But that season is over primarily.
Yeah, when you see that now, so now you see where your kids are as adults. You see all the investment, all the way you handle things, the good and the bad. How have you seen the way you raised your kids? And this is an opportunity to just puff yourself up, but what are some traits you think you've seen in your kids of how discipline came into play to make them who they are as
Disclaimer.
Adults?
Disclaimer, all three of them are going to hear this, so don't talk about how you ruined them
and
they're horrible.
Here's something, too, that was good. That was not one of the questions you submitted to me for consideration.
Then just don't answer it.
honestly, there's sometimes I look at them and think, thank you, God. It's nothing but grace that you navigated them through the foolishness. Hey, you know, we were 20 when we got married. We conceived within the first month of marriage. Think about that.
Wow.
And then 18 months later, after Stephanie, we had another child. And then 18 months later, after Tiffany, we had another. And then we bought a television set. That's my favorite joke to tell there. But no, the truth is, we were young and ignorant. And, you know, we could have really used, probably avoiding and deflecting from your question, we could have really used a mentor couple. Yeah. Oh, if God would just raise up some. And we have some awesome ones in our church that have a great marriage and really a good perspective on parenting, at least now after these years. But I see godliness in our children, glimmers of grace and kindness at times. I won't talk about the negative stuff because they are going to be listening. I'll tell you all that after we turn the mics off. But all in all, I'm very proud. I'm not in a bad way, but in a rejoicing way, that they are believers. They love Jesus. All of our older grandchildren have made professions of faith. I'm convinced. I thank God already in faith for the conversion of the others, and I want to support my children now in their parenting.
You know what's interesting? A couple of thoughts that came to my mind as you were talking. Number one, nobody's getting this perfect. Nobody. Mm-hmm. The experts that are writing the books aren't getting them perfect.
That's true.
But we're working alongside of God. He's working through us, and He's working in our kids' hearts in ways that we don't even see. This doesn't all rest on us. So we don't get to take the credit or the blame for who our kids are as kids or as adults. We had a part in that, but we're not alone. Because if we were, this task is way too big for us. So we're not parenting alone. And it's also interesting that these books that we're referencing that we've read about grace parenting are written by grandparents. Nobody in the throes of it.
Good point.
Has it, man? Yeah. We're all looking back, thinking this would have been the perfect way to handle it, and that's okay, you know, because God knew that when He put Stephanie into the home of a 20-year-old man, He knew what He was
doing. Well, that's been a part of our sanctification and hers. You know, this has to have been a part of all that. She knows she has flawed parents. We knew we had a daughter and two daughters and a son with a sin nature also. You're right. God has used this in the grand scheme of things to make us more like Him.
It is. But you've also gotten to see them grow and mature, and you've gotten to see what God's done in their lives. I mean, not many people can say all their kids as adults are serving the Lord in church, are present.
Think of this, especially preachers. How many do we know who their kids have ran the other direction? And I don't take any credit for that. It is God and God alone, and I'm so grateful. But I'm expecting, I think it was maybe Jonathan Edwards, that all of his children and grandchildren recorded professions of faith. So many of them were doctors and lawyers and college presidents. And I told the Lord, you know, I don't care about all of that, but if I can know they're all believers all the way through our lineage, then I think that's possible. And I'm trusting God for that for us and for you guys too, you know.
Now that they're adults, so people, and I know all these parents, this is something that consumes a lot of people. There's that, transition that happens when they then step into adulthood and your role as a parent changes. So how do you parent your kids as adults?
You two know that I have had a little issue with control. No comment from either of you, but it's hard to keep your mouth shut sometimes. But I asked Stephanie that question yesterday. Wow. I said, I'm going to be asked this question tomorrow.
That's brave.
And she snickered when she said this. However, here was the word she said. How do you parent now sometimes? She said, guilt. Don't laugh at that. That's not funny. But no, the truth is, I can, you know, I still like the attention. And I like my perspectives being at least weighed with the possibility of value to them. I also asked Terry that question. And, you know, I know you guys know, but she has great insight sometimes. And she said, I hope we would do it the Ephesians 4:15 way. And that is speaking the truth in love, that you may grow up in Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Speak the truth. When we have something, pardon me, that we feel we must say, we really want to do that in love. She reminded me also, she still got a little law in her, because she said, what about those Ten Commandments? And she reminded me of the day one of our kids was having a little issue fitting in the whole family, and there was some rebelling going on, and yet they were older. They were in college years. And she said, We were struggling, and remember we called that hotline that Focus on the Family has about parenting, and the lady told us, she said, look, you're parenting them like they were 15 or 12. Mm-hmm. And she said, it's a privilege for them to be in your home now. So she told us to develop the 10 commandments of your family, things that were important. Mm-hmm. And she said, and let them know, you get 3 strikes. And then the privilege of being there won't be yours if you continue in it. And I won't tell you the rest of that story, but it all worked out. And she believed that was important too, so I want to include that.
That would have been, this concept would have been, I've got an adult child, they're not 12.
18, 19,
they're
19
in college,
years old, 20.
College age, yes. Young adult. They haven't left our home yet, so they're still dependent on us for some things, but they are an adult. So I'm not telling you some of these details, you work out for yourself, but there are some top things. Yes. For you, it was a list of 10 things. These things are so big in our house. Even though you're an adult, we're asking you to follow these 10 things. And if that's an issue, we'll have to figure out a different situation.
We respect
situation.
You, but that's what these are our, in order to keep peace here and joy and have the kind of environment we need to foster godliness, these are important. And it was great advice.
Yeah.
And I remember real quick, I was away somewhere preaching and almost said the name of the child, called and said, Dad.
Fred.
Fred, that was it. Mom is going to make me live at the mission. Because that was what they were thinking. They got to go to Beacon. If, in fact, and I said, well, this is just one, but I support Mom.
Yeah.
And so bottom line, before they ever got to the third strike, the child decided to find their own place and live, which was another good win. It was another win. Mm-hmm. Either way, it would have been fine.
Wow.
So I hope that speaks to that.
Yeah, that's
parenting
perfect.
As an adult. Hey, we're still learning this. We're still working on doing it effectively. Still, there are still a little work being done as an adult with adult children, but it's different.
So to run that trail a little further, once this adult child was no longer in your house, mm-hmm. they still know these 10 rules exist. These, not rules, these 10 stances that you have as a parent, and some of them they are disagreeing with.
Correct.
And what does that look like?
Well, now, you have to respect when they're out of your house. It was like Stephen and the tattoos. Do you remember the whole scene? All the way through growing up, he said, Dad, I want to get tattoos. Can I get tattoos? And, you know, I said, well, you know, I'm not comfortable with it right now, but when you have your own home, so on their honeymoon, he comes back. He's got Jesus on his left arm, down his left arm, saves on his back arm. He said, Dad, take a look at this. And I don't know how he expected me to respond. I said, well, good. You know, you remember you got your own place now. He said, I want you to get two also. I want you to put, so I could stand side by side and read, you could put hell's hot on your two, and mine would say Jesus saves. And we made a joke of it, but that was him. You know, that's his home and family.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Great example.
Yeah.
So at this point, you're out of my house.
Yep.
And we can agree to have a different stance on this. We can love each other.
And respect
each other.
And
this is not
Absolutely.
A discipline issue.
Not at all.
Because it's not my place to punish you for going against one of my positions.
No, discipline moves to discipling and counsel and love, not at all the same as when they were in your home.
So
who was it that said, well, let me forget
probably
this
Chuck.
One. Honor them as long as you live. Obey them as long as you're in their home. And then requite them. 3 things, King James word, requite, repay. But you obey them, or honor them as long as you live. You obey them while you're in their house, and then you requite them afterwards. You start to say, "I'm sorry."
I don't remember now.
I
must have not been important.
I knew I'd forget it, but I didn't say.
No, that's good. Oh, I know what it was.
Okay.
You talked about moving from discipline punishing you because of your behavior or disagreeing with this, going against the stance that I have, to now you're an adult and you have a different stance than me, and that's not dishonorable for you to have this different stance. But you said you still have the opportunity to disciple them. You're a religious figure in their life. You're a godly counsel to them. What does that look like if pre-tattoo, using that example.
Not hey, the Dad, tattoos are the worst thing ever.
We're no. I'm going to get one next week.
Okay.
So, but just if there is a, we'll stay hypothetical. If there is something that an adult child comes to you and they know you have a different position, they're thinking about.
We have those.
This experience that would go against the position that you have. What does that conversation look like?
Well, in years gone by, when a child or more has not been as mature, it sometimes was kind of a little bit of a critical statement to dad. Hey, I think you were wrong about this or whatever. Just open dialogue, to which my response was, you know, I don't think that was the case. Or there have been times where I've had to apologize when the difference was more of a preference than it was a biblical issue. If, to my mind, it goes back to where we started with scriptures. If, in fact, it's a biblical matter, I'm still going to take that position. While loving and honoring my children, I'm not going to move from that. But if it's not a biblical matter and it's a preferential matter, then I'm going to move some on that. And you both have observed mm-hmm. me doing that. Yep. And I intend to do it and make sure that we're living a biblically accurate life, not so much preference-based.
That's good. You've kind of just woven these all throughout the interview, but is there anything else you feel like the Lord has taught you through your children?
You know, yes. It's like, I'm a sinner. That's what he taught me as I parented. I am still a sinner. I've been a pastor for all these years, but I'm still a sinner saved by God's grace. And they're sinners. Mm-hmm. They're still sinners. No matter how sanctified they become, they still are going to struggle with sin on this side. I also understand I'm very loved by my Father. Mm-hmm. You guys know when I discovered that gospel prayer, mm-hmm. J.D. wrote that, and then the whole concept of God's love for me, it's changed my whole life. I've learned a lot about forgiveness, forgiving myself and forgiving them forgiving me, grace. I was thinking something to go back real quick before I share my last thought. Terry's mother said to her on her 18th birthday, she said, you know, up until this time, I would have been giving account for you, but you're going to stand before God now. She said, and she drew a line right there. She said, now the decisions you make as you leave here, go to college, whatever, you're going to stand before God on your own behalf now. Mm. I thought that was a good, and it's really been a checks and balance for her. But Chuck, not only, Jeremy, have I learned a lot, but I'm still learning every day. And sometimes I learn as I watch you with Wyatt, or you with Ryan and Owen and Dylan. I mean, I'm still, you guys know, I'm a student of people. Sometimes I think, I wished I would have done that. I wished I would have taken more time with them and helped their mom more. I wished I would have been at home more. I wish I would have spent time in God's Word with them more. I mean, there's lots of things that I'm learning as a parent, in addition to the fact that I'm a depraved sinner that the Lord has chosen to save and redeem.
That's good.
It is good. Pastor Tom, I will say I'm very thankful for you. Obviously, you didn't nail everything right, but it was nice to have a role model as my kids were being born that I knew loved God and loved me, that would be a godly counsel to me when I needed to talk through things. You talked about how we need people who are further down the road than us that we can come to and talk. If you're listening to this, if you're part of a church body, if you're part of Central, there are people here mm-hmm. that can fill that role for you. And not just the pastors, other people who love Jesus and who have walked further down that road. You also, Pastor Tom, referenced some books. We'll add those in to the notes of this podcast. Sure. We're fancy enough to do that. And we can also add in the gospel prayer you referenced that was written by J.D. Greer in his book, Gospel. Is that the name of the book?
I'm not sure if that was the book it was in. Probably.
But either way, we can add that prayer to the notes in this podcast also.
Can I say something to you and Chuck, too, and just because we had the opportunity to speak? I'm very proud of you. Very proud of you. You know, Jesus said, the Father said three things. You've heard me say this 1,000 times, but one last time won't hurt. The greatest Father that ever lived looked in the eyes of his Son and said three things. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. I love you, and I love you both. I'm proud of you, and I'm here with you, and I'm watching you be those three things to your boys. Mm-hmm. So, God bless you. Thanks for including me in this.
Thank you.
Thanks for being here, Pastor Tom. Yep. Hey, thanks for listening to Beyond a Parent. Remember, parenting is way beyond us, but in Christ, we have all that we need for this journey.
Thanks for listening, guys. Thank you, Pastor Tom.
My joy.